Well, first of all, I want to give you an opportunity to thank our bell choir, the Joyful Bells, for wonderful, wonderful music. Thank you. It's harder than it looks, and it looks hard. If you watch the techniques and switching bells, and sometimes they have the thumb on the bell, and so it doesn't ring as sharply, and other times they want that clear sound. It's amazing watching these talented people. Thank you. Thank you. Our scripture passage this morning is from 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 12 through 20, and then concluding with verse 27. Now, Paul, when he writes his letter to the church at Corinth, this is his first letter, he's addressing a number of concerns that are afflicting that church in terms of worship practices, in terms of morality, and also in the use of their spiritual gifts. Now, he recognizes that everyone in the church has spiritual gifts, but there has been some misunderstandings and misuse of those spiritual gifts. And so he compares the spiritual gifts to the abilities or the members of the body. So starting in chapter 12, "For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and all were made to drink of one Spirit. For the body does not consist of one member, but of many. If the foot should say, 'Because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body,' that would not make it any less a part of the body. And if the ear should say, 'Because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body,' that would not make it any less a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing be? And if the whole body were an ear, where would be the sense of smell? But as it is, God arranged the organs in the body, each one of them, as he chose. If all were a single organ, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, yet one body. Now, you are the body of Christ, and individually members of it. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God." You probably have read about or heard about people that have special gifts. Mozart, for example, learned to play the piano at the age of 4. At age 5, he wrote his first piece of music and composed his first symphony at the age of 8. Tiger Woods appeared on the Tonight Show at the age of 2, showing off his golf stroke. There are examples of children 10, 12, 13 years old who are graduates of college, have a college degree. We call these individuals gifted because they have things that are out of the ordinary, out of the norm, out of our normal experience. My daughter Summer, I think, is a gifted teacher. And she knew that she was going to be a teacher when she was a little girl, and she had the best educated doll collection in her room. She was constantly teaching her dolls. And she is now a gift. That's her passion. That was her passion from a young age. And she's a gifted teacher. My other daughter, Stacy, has a gift for numbers. Her mother and I do not know where that gift came from. But she loves working with numbers. Numbers call to her. They speak to her in some way. And isn't it fortunate that she is now a senior financial analyst at Honeywell? And well thought of and regarded because she can look at a spreadsheet and she can interpret it in ways that ordinary people would not be able to do. Other people have gifts for art or for music and singing. Cara Don is a gifted pianist. But the thing all of those have in common is that the gift is there, but it takes years and years of practice. Cara Don, you agree with me, I'm sure. Years of hard work to take that little spark, that little gift that God put within us, and have it come to fruition in a way that is visible and benefits people. So there are some who are gifted, but I want to let you know, you are gifted in a very special way. God has given you a spiritual gift. Now, spiritual gifts are different than talents and abilities. As talented as Sheridan is, as talented as Mozart was, those were human talents and abilities, God-given, but then developed by our own efforts. Spiritual gifts are a gift from the Holy Spirit that God gives each of us for ministry in the church, for service to others. It's not something we have to earn. It's not something that we really have to, we can develop it, but the gift is given to us. And Paul says in Romans and in 1 Corinthians that every believer has a spiritual gift. Every believer has a spiritual gift. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 1, the beginning of that chapter that I read before, the first verse says, concerning spiritual gifts, brothers and sisters, I do not want you to be uninformed. I want you to know what it means to have a spiritual gift and how to use it. Spiritual gifts are different than the natural abilities and the talents that we see around us. And every one of us, every believer has a spiritual gift. And what is the purpose of that spiritual gift? In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 13, to build up the body of Christ, to equip the members for ministry, so that the body of Christ is built up, it is strengthened, it is made effective in ministry. Every church has, in its population, in its congregation, all the spiritual gifts that church needs to be vital and successive, to enable spiritual growth and numerical growth. All those spiritual gifts are there. God wants the church to grow. God wants his church to be effective. And so he has given you all the gifts to make that happen. But what's unfortunate is a lot of us don't know what our spiritual gifts are. Now, some of us are using our spiritual gifts but don't even know why, or you don't even know what they are. But we have this innate sense of, I'm doing something that God wants me to do. You know, I feel called to do this. And you're being called to do that because it's probably the spiritual gift that you may not have a name for, but you recognize within you. When I began ministry, I went to Fuller Theological Seminary. But you know, I grew up in the church. My father was a Methodist minister. I literally grew up in the church. But I don't recall ever hearing about spiritual gifts when I was growing up in the church. It wasn't until I went to seminary and I went to Fuller and I was exposed to a lot of different theological beliefs, because there's a wide variety of Christian beliefs being experienced there with members of my classes. And I heard about spiritual gifts. I said, what are spiritual gifts? My only background with spiritual gifts was this idea of associating it with Pentecostalism, speaking in tongues. But that's not all that spiritual gifts are. And so I found out that spiritual gifts are a way that God gives us to grow the church. Now, at that time, I was starting a brand new church in Surprise. I had been appointed to start a new church in Surprise, and I was scared. I was a little apprehensive about this project. I mean, I was brand new to the ministry. I was still in seminary. And they were giving me the responsibility of starting a brand new church. I needed help. And so I thought, God spoke to me. Spiritual gifts. I need to get spiritual. So when I started New Song, I didn't know anybody. We started from scratch. 10 years later, 600 members, average attendance in worship, 450, somewhere around there. Now, some of that was due, of course, to the fact that I started the church at the time when Surprise was experiencing incredible growth. When I started the church, the population of Surprise was about 18,000. 10 years later, it was 100,000. Lots of growth. And we were located right across from Sun City Grand. But that wasn't all of it. Big part of it was the fact that because of the generosity and the commitment of the Sun City churches, including Willowbrook, we were able to buy property and put up a building within 6 years. That made a big difference. But I like to believe that another important contributing factor to our growth was that I made the commitment early on that everyone would know about their spiritual gifts and use those gifts in ministry. And I think that contributed to the growth and the health and the vitality of that church. So I began teaching about spiritual gifts. And I have some wonderful stories I'd like to share with you. One story concerns a couple that came to our church named, I can use their real names because both of them have gone on to be with the Lord, Roger and Bonnie. And Roger had a lot of experience in the church. He had been a church business administrator. He came right in, and boy, we just, wow, how fortunate we are to have Roger. Roger was great. He had the spiritual gift of administration. He had the spiritual gifts of leadership, and he just had a great impact. Bonnie, on the other hand, was a quiet, a beautiful soul, very quiet, very shy, and lacked self-esteem because she didn't think she had anything to offer. She was living in the shadow of her husband. And she told me, I don't have anything. I don't have any gifts. I don't have any talents. I have nothing I can offer the church. Well, I convinced her to attend a spiritual gifts class. And there she discovered that she had spiritual gifts, particularly in the caring ministries, mercy and helps. And she said, well, how do I use these gifts? And I said, well, a great place would be in our care ministries, which we were just kind of getting off the ground. And I encouraged her to become a Stephen minister, and she did. And she became a Stephen leader. And over a period of years, she continued to grow spiritually and her self-esteem and her leadership skills to eventually she became our care director, our director of care ministries. Someone who didn't think she had anything to offer the church became one of our role models, one of our leaders in our church. There's another gentleman that was in our church, and he took the spiritual gifts class. Now, there are some people that in the church that kind of do all of the mundane tasks, you know. Yeah, you have some people in the church that do that. They're not afraid to get their hands dirty, and they're happy just doing the behind-the-scenes kind of stuff. Well, that was this gentleman. I'll call him John. And he had the gift of service. And I want to read the definition that Dr. Charles Bryant. Now, I have to go back in just a second here. When I decided to do spiritual gifts training in my church, I was gratified to learn that the United Methodist Church had curriculum. Dr. Charles Bryant had a book published called Rediscovering Your Spiritual Gifts, which was published by the Upper Room. And the churches were encouraged to use spiritual gifts training. And so I had that ability, if you will, to have that Methodist imprimatur put on what I was doing. And so this is from Dr. Bryant's book. But service, he says, is, he calls it the supernatural ability because he wants to emphasize that these gifts come from God. They're not anything that we produce within ourselves. They're gifts from God. The Holy Spirit gifts us. But he calls it service. The gift of service is the supernatural ability to elevate any deed or service that aids the church or another person to a form of worship without concern or desire for rank, popularity, position, or recognition. And he goes on to say that people that have this spiritual gift of service long to be in service to others because they get joy out of that. And to leave any task unfinished is to almost be, leaving worship unfinished. They put such great joy into doing what we would consider menial tasks. And we have several of those people in this church. We have people like that at New Song. We had another person, actually several people, that had the spiritual gift of giving. Now, we all give. We all took an offering this morning. We're all giving. We know that the tithe is the expectation of giving. But there are some people who God has given a spiritual gift of giving. And thank God we had some of those at New Song. There's a brand new church struggling financially. It was wonderful to have a few people that had that spiritual gift of giving. And that is the ability to manage one's resources of income, time, energy, and skills to exceed what is considered a reasonable standard for giving to the church, an amount that brings joy and power to do more for further service. Now, that's the definition. But what that really boils down to is people that have the spiritual gift of giving are able to give above and beyond what normal people would consider to be their expectation from God. In other words, beyond the tithe. And they do it because they experience a joy that is so rewarding that they want to give more. It's almost like a runner's high. You know, the more they give, the more joy they get back, the more rewarding they are, the more they want to give. And fortunately, we had some of those people at New Song that were able to give it some extraordinary amounts of money to help us through those early stages when we were growing that church. Now, lots of times people come into a church, particularly a church like New Song, when I was there, with a multi-generational church. And if you were a teacher, why, obviously, you were going to teach Sunday school. Well, that's not always somebody's spiritual gift. What you do in the workplace doesn't always translate into the church. And sometimes a teacher might find that their spiritual gift is in mercy and helps, or it might be in service, or it might be in pastoring. Here's another thing. There's a spiritual gift called pastor. And not every pastor has that spiritual gift. Because the spiritual gift of pastor is the ability to carry varieties of spiritual, physical, and social concerns for groups and individuals, and to persist over long periods of time and circumstances with effective care. That sounds like more like Stephen ministry. And so again, you know, just because pastors are up here, that may not be our spiritual gift. I took a spiritual gift test just this past week to kind of go through the materials that we're using, and I found out that, and your spiritual gifts change over time. I got about two or three more minutes. I'm going to wrap this up. I believe as you grow and in your spirituality, and as the church changes, as people come and go, God still wants those spiritual gifts. So sometimes your spiritual gift may change depending on the circumstances and depending on your experience. And my spiritual gifts, I found out, administration, faith, and what was the third one? I forget what the third one was. Not pastor. Not evangelist. Evangelist is one of the key spiritual gifts. And that is the ability to give such a persuasive witness to the love of God as expressed in Jesus Christ that it moves others to accept that love and become disciples. Evangelism. We need that in the church. And I like to consider myself an evangelist, but you know, there are people in this church who are gifted by God to be evangelists. You may not know that. You may have this desire in your heart to want to be able to bring people to Christ, but you haven't been able to put a label on it. You haven't been able to have that confidence to know that God is going to use you for that. So here's when I'm going to give my final pitch. Next Saturday morning, we're going to meet in the chapel at 9:30, and we're going to talk about spiritual gifts. We're going to talk about the church. We're going to talk about what it means to have spiritual gifts, and we're going to we're going to encourage you to take a spiritual gifts inventory to help you begin that process of discerning what your spiritual gifts are and how you can use them here at Willowbrook in ministry. And then you're going to take that home and you're going to bring it back next Sunday morning, and at 10 o'clock next Sunday morning, we're going to conclude this spiritual gifts seminar again in the chapel, and we're going to go through and look at everybody's spiritual gifts. We're going to talk about those gifts, and we're going to, and it's also our new member class. New members will also receive information about membership. I'd like you to, if you're able to sign up, because I have to prepare materials. Every person's going to get a workbook, and I have to copy those and put them all together. So I need to know how many people to plan for. Right now, I have 16 people signed up. I think it's wonderful, but I can accommodate more. So if you haven't signed up yet, you're interested in finding out what your spiritual gift is, or just the whole idea of spiritual gifts, sign up. Come join us next Saturday morning in the chapel at 9:30, from 9:30 to 11, and then we'll conclude next Sunday from 10 to 11:15, again in the chapel. I encourage you to do it. It's going to be fun. It's going to be exciting. I want you to know what your gifts are, because you are gifted. Amen?